The Holy Gospel according to John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, dear saints, there are very few guarantees in this life. Very few things that you can be sure of. The old saying goes, death and taxes, right? We seek for certain things in our life, clear paths, guarantees, but those do seem hard to find. That perfect deal, that sure thing, that guarantee. So when we do find that sure thing, that deal that is too good to let go, you know, that deal that seems, well, too good to be true, well, it is probably just that. There's a catch. No guarantees. But today, I want to tell you about two things that you can be sure of that aren't death and taxes. They are tribulation and peace. And yes, they are guaranteed. Tribulation and peace, two things that you can be sure of, two things that you can count on that are promised to come your way, especially if you are a Christian. Let us start with tribulation. Tribulation is just a fancy way of saying trouble. I personally liked Luther's word for that. He uses the Latin tentatio. Trouble, tribulation, tentatio, these are things that we can expect, this experience of tribulation. And Jesus, he tells the disciples as much in the Holy Gospel that we just heard for today in John 16. He says, "In the world you will have tribulation." Notice he doesn't say you might have tribulation. No, he says you will have tribulation. It's guaranteed. If you are of this world, or if you are in this world, you will have trouble. There is the trouble that comes simply from living in a fallen world. Things, they just don't work right all the time. Cars, they break down. Nature doesn't work right. We've experienced that, right? Drought, lack of rain, hard winds, hail, fires. People, they don't always do the right things. They do things that hurt us, whether directly or indirectly. There's the emotional hurt too. People we care about, they betray us and they break our hearts. People that we love, we see them suffering. We are empathetic to them and their situations. And in turn, we find ourselves taking on their suffering. We lose people that we love, whether it's to death or simply to distance, and we miss them. All these are troubles that we face simply by living in a fallen world. And it doesn't matter if we're Christian or not, we will face them. You've got your troubles, and I definitely have mine, but the point is, we all have got troubles in one form or another. Now, so far to this point, we've talked specifically about the troubles that come to us from the outside. But then there's the troubles that we bring on ourselves. Foolish decisions that we make that we end up later regretting. Perhaps dumb things that we do when we knew better. Disregarding the wise counsel that friends and family members have given us, and then only to see later that they were right. And most importantly, disregarding and disobeying God's word to us about the right ways to live. Yes, we are sinners, and we ourselves are responsible for those sins. You see, God, he gives us his commandments for our own good, so that we do fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Our Creator knows the best way for his creatures to live. And when we don't listen to God, when we tune him out, we bring trouble upon ourselves. Again, this is something that we all do. And it doesn't matter if we're Christians or not. This happens to all of us. But then there is the trouble. There is that tribulation that Christians in particular do endure. And that, I think, is what Jesus is especially talking about when he tells his disciples, in the world, you will have tribulation. The whole context in these chapters of John is about how things are going to be different now that Jesus is going away and returning to his Father. Life is about to get a whole lot more difficult for his disciples. Remember now, Jesus is saying this on the night in which he is about to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested and put on trial. The very next morning, he will be taken to the Roman governor, beaten, mocked, unjustly sentenced, and put to death on a cross. You want to talk about trouble? That's trouble. And the world, it hated Jesus. That world is going to hate his followers as well. Disciples, they get treated like their master. So Jesus, he's preparing them for just that. He's preparing us. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Whether back in the first century or now in the 21st century, disciples, the followers of Jesus, they have always been facing tribulation. This world is hostile to all Christians. The values of the world, they conflict our Christian values. And what we believe and how we are to live is different than this world speaks to. Think of all the evils. All the evils that are tolerated in the world these days. Things like abortion, gay marriage, greed, crime, divorce, sexual immorality of every conceivable form. The world, it calls evil good and good evil. They not only do these things, but give approval to those who do them. It's no surprise then that the world is so hostile towards Christians. If Christians call a thing what it is, if we call sin, sin, if we know and say and demonstrate by our own lives that certain behaviors are right and certain behaviors are wrong, and that is what God Himself says about these matters, well, then we represent a threat to what this world wants to do. Once more, trusting in God and His goodness, believing that salvation is to be found in Jesus Christ alone and not in the false gods of man's own making. We represent condemnation of all idolatry and false beliefs. When we say that all men are sinners and are not righteous by their own accord, and that all people need the righteousness found only in Christ, this goes against the pride of mankind, and the world will hate us for it. And so we stand in the crosshairs of this world. The world will hate us because they first hated our Christ. So yes, we can count on the fact that in this world we will have tribulation. Just as Jesus said that we would. It's guaranteed. Tribulation, tentatio, trouble. Reminds me of that song. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. I'm sure we all feel like that sometimes. Because when you're in it, when those troubles are pressing in on us, that really is how it feels. When we are down in our despair, we tend to feel all alone. But remember this, your brothers and your sisters here in this family called the church, we also have been through the storms. And we are called to care for and to support one another when we see a sister or a brother who is hurting. As it says in 2 Corinthians, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Nobody knows the troubles I see. Nobody knows. But Jesus. That's the big thing, isn't it? Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He is the mean of all sorrows, acquainted with our griefs. You see, we already have a high priest that who is now ascended to the right hand of our God the Father, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and those troubles. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. Cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. Call upon me in the days of trouble. God says, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Tribulation. It is guaranteed. But, I love the but here. However, peace is also guaranteed. Listen again here to what Jesus says to his disciples. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Likewise, earlier in this same discourse, Jesus says, peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace, the peace of God in Christ, this peace which the world cannot give, Jesus gives to you. It's a peace that the world cannot take away. Even in the midst of our troubles and our tribulations, especially in the midst of our tribulations, you have the peace to comfort and to quiet your soul. In the world, you will have tribulation. In Christ, you have peace. Guaranteed. Now, this isn't just happy talk or a denial of reality. This is not simply wishful thinking. This is not saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. No, there really is peace. Objectively so. It exists. It is objectively established. This peace is reality. Even when we can't see it or understand it or feel it. This is the peace that Christ has established by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. Christ Jesus made this peace in his body on the cross. Jesus made peace between heaven and earth, between God and man. Our sins had alienated us from God. We were by nature enemies of God, but Christ now has reconciled us back to our God, establishing that peace. His cross, therefore, is our bridge across troubled waters. When we are in trouble, when we are experiencing tribulation of any sort, we know that we can be at peace with God, and that changes everything. Whatever the worst is that the world can do to us, whatever is the worst that this life in this fallen world can dish out, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God is at peace with us. We are at peace with God, and nothing can disturb that. And so this objective peace established by Christ brings a subjective peace. And dare I say it, yes, that feeling of peace and comfort to our hearts and to our minds and to our souls. And this is a great comfort and a relief in the midst of all of our sorrows. For we know that right now our Heavenly Father is watching over us and he cares for us. We know that right now our Savior Jesus Christ knows each one of us by name and he is interceding for us and he is ruling all things for our sake and for the sake of his church. We have the Holy Spirit speaking peace to our hearts. And we know that ahead of us, when this brief life of tribulation comes to an end, there is the eternal peace and joy. Yes, the joy and the new hope for a life to come. We will join that white-robed multitude who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Dear friends, you who have been baptized in the name of Jesus and are trusting in Him for your salvation, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a place reserved for you in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. That too is guaranteed. Life and light will fill that city. God and all the saints, they'll be there. And so will you and I. We will be there rejoicing. And it is all because of the peace won and established by Christ. He has overcome this world. He forgives our sins. The peace that He gives is greater than all of our troubles. His peace is greater than all of our feelings. This peace is yours today. And it will get you through tomorrow. Guaranteed. So may that peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.